2. Summer holiday, A. Your art is so beautiful. Do you talk to yourself? Alid said. Out loud. It was the end of July and school was over and we were in my bedroom. I was on the floor sketching ideas for my first Universe City episode on my laptop. I always brought my laptop with me to his house because Alid had a weird thing about other people using his laptop. He joked that he thought his mum checked it secretly while he was at school, and this had made him paranoid. I thought it was fair enough. I wouldn't want anyone accidentally stumbling across my internet history, even Alid. Some things you really should keep to yourself. He was sitting on my bed, writing the script. The radio was on and the sun shone a strip of light across the carpet. Sometimes, I said. Yeah, if there's nobody around, it just happens by accident. He didn't say anything, so I asked. Why? He stopped typing and looked up, leaning his chin on one hand. I was just thinking the other day about the fact that I never speak to myself out loud, and I thought maybe that was normal. But then I wondered whether that was actually really strange. I thought talking to yourself was strange, I said. Mum had caught me doing it several times and laughed at me. We both looked at each other. So who's the strange one? I grinned. I don't know, he said, and then shrugged. Sometimes I think if nobody spoke to me, I'd never speak again. That sounds sad. He blinked. Oh, yeah. Everything with Alid was fun or good. Usually both. We started to realise that it didn't even matter what we did together, because we knew that if we were both there, we would have a good time. I started to feel less embarrassed about all the weird things I did, like suddenly singing songs with absolutely no context, and my bottomless database of random encyclopedic facts, and that one time I started a 4-hour-long text conversation about why cheese was a food. I kept teasing him for having such long hair until he said one day, quite decisively, that he actually wanted it to be long. So I stopped teasing him after that. We played video games or board games or watched YouTube videos or films or TV shows. We baked cakes and biscuits and ordered takeaway. We could only do stuff at his house when his mum wasn't in, so we were at my house most of the time. He'd sit through me screaming along to Moulin Rouge and I'd sit through him reciting every line from Back to the Future. I tried to learn the guitar using his guitar, but gave up because I was shit. He helped me paint a nighttime cityscape mural on my bedroom wall. We watched 4 seasons of The Office. We sat in each other's rooms with our laptops on our legs. He kept falling asleep at random times of the day. I kept persuading him that Just Dance sessions were a good idea. We discovered that we were both very passionate about Monopoly. I didn't do any homework when I was with him. He didn't do any uni reading when he was with me. But at the heart of it was Universe City. We started sketching things for the video art and sticking all our ideas on my bedroom wall. But there were so many ideas that it took us ages to decide on anything. Alid had started asking me for advice while he was plotting future episodes and giving me spoilers, and I felt so undeserving I almost told him to stop. Almost. I don't think this is working, I said, after we'd sat in silence for a while, sketching and typing. Alid glanced up, and I moved to show him what I was drawing on Photoshop. It was a cityscape of Universe City, with its flashing lights and dark alleyways. I think the shapes are wrong. Everything's too pointy and square. It feels really flat. He said. I wondered whether he knew what I was talking about. I often found myself suddenly saying things that didn't really make sense in front of Alid, and I think sometimes he just pretended to understand what I was saying. Yeah, maybe. I'm just not sure. My voice trailed away. I made my decision. I leaned forward, reached underneath my bed and grabbed my current sketchbook. I opened it, flicked through and found what I was looking for. Another sketch of the city. But in this one, the city looked completely different. It was more of an aerial view, and the buildings were curved and soft, like they were swaying in the breeze. I'd never shown anyone my sketchbooks before. "How about something like that?" I said, showing Alid the drawing. Alid slowly took the sketchbook out of my hands. He gazed at it for a moment and then said, "Your art is so beautiful." I made a vague coughing noise. "Thanks," I said. "Something like this would be really good," he said. "Yeah? Yeah. Okay." Alid continued to stare at the sketchbook. He ran his thumbs over the edges and then turned to me. "Is this all Universe City stuff?" I hesitated and then nodded. He looked back at the sketchbook. "Can I look through this?" I knew he was going to ask, and I felt stupidly nervous about letting him. But I still ended up saying, "Yeah, sure." Angel. Alid caught the flu a few days later, but we were still aiming for my first episode to come out on August 10th, so I continued to visit him while he was sick. Also, I started to get used to seeing him every day, and felt a bit lonely when I didn't. None of my school friends had talked to me for a while. Alid's mum never seemed to be home. I asked him why, and he said that she worked long hours. All I knew of her was that she enforced strict curfews. Alid had to be home by 8 p.m. every evening. But that was it. One afternoon, while he was curled up in bed under his cityscape blanket, shivering, he said, "I don't understand why you keep coming here." I wasn't sure whether he meant just while he was ill or generally. "We're friends," I said. "And I know I'm hilarious, but also I'm a worrier." "But this isn't fun for you," he said with a weak laugh. "I'm ill." His hair was greasy and stuck up in tufts. I was sitting on the floor, fully involved in the process of making him a sandwich with various items I'd brought from my house in a giant cool box. "I don't know. I'd just be sitting by myself if I was at home. And that's even less fun." He made a grumbling noise and said, "I just don't understand." I laughed. "Isn't this what friends do?" But then I realised that I wasn't actually sure. No one had ever done something like this for me before. Was this really weird? Was I overstepping a boundary? Invading his personal space? Was I being really clingy? "I don't know," he mumbled. "Well, you're the one who has a best friend." I regretted saying it as soon as it came out. But neither of us could deny it was true. "Dan. He wouldn't visit while I was sick," Alid said. "There's no point, I'd just be boring." "I'm not bored," I said, because it was the truth. "I have you to chat with and sandwiches to make." He laughed again and hid his face under the blanket. "Why are you so nice to me?" "Because I'm an angel." "You are." He stretched out his arm and patted me on the head. "And I'm platonically in love with you." That was literally the boy-girl version of no homo, but I appreciate the sentiment. "Can I have my sandwich now?" "Not yet. I don't think I've perfected the crisp-to-cheese ratio." After his sandwich, Alid fell asleep, so I left a message on his whiteboard. "Get well soon." Along with a drawing, me driving an ambulance. and then walked back home, realizing that the fact of the matter was that I didn't really know how to behave around friends at all. Really dumb. I didn't understand why Caris ever hung out with me until I realized that nobody else wanted to be friends with her, and essentially, I was the only option. This made me feel a bit sad because I knew that if she'd had the choice, she probably would have chosen someone else. She only liked me because I listened to her. Once we'd moved from the grammar school to the academy, after the grammar school burned down, she started talking less about her school friends. And though she never told me why, I figured it was because there was nothing to tell and nobody to talk about. "Why do you talk to me every day?" she asked me one day in the spring on the way to school. I didn't know whether to say it was because she talked to me every day, or because I didn't have anyone else to talk to, or because I had a crush on her. "Why not?" I said, and grinned. She shrugged. "Lots of reasons, really." "Like what?" "I'm just a bit annoying, aren't I?" she said, "and really dumb compared to you." Her school grades were awful. I knew that. But I never felt like it made her inferior to me. In many ways, it felt like she transcended school. She didn't care. She didn't feel the need to care. "You're not annoying or dumb," I said. I really did feel like the whole thing would turn into some kind of brilliant romance. I thought she'd wake up one day and realise that I'd been there for her all along. I thought I'd kiss her and she'd realise that I cared about her more than anyone else in the entire world. Delusional. I was delusional. I wasn't there for her at all. "I think you'd get on with my brother," she said. "Why?" "You're both too nice." She looked down and then out the window, and the sun shone in her eyes. Universe City Podcast, Episode 15, Computer Magic. Posted by Universe City. On the importance of the magic in the pipes below us.
A spot of computer magic. That's really all it needs, friends. When you live in a city as big as this, how else are you to communicate but by computer magic? The governors recently repaired all the pipes. One of the few good things they've done for us recently. I swear I can feel something evil about them. But ignorance is bliss, I suppose. I've got contacts all over the place. More useful than friends, really. I have eyes and ears everywhere. I see and hear everything. I'm ready for whatever they're going to throw at me. I know they're going to throw something at me. I've seen it in my dreams and in my fortune mirror. I can see it from a mile away, from 10 miles away. It's coming. But I have computer magic on my side. I have my friends. No. Contacts. Way more valuable, old sport. I really am telling you, there's magic under our feet, not just in our eyes.
A true fact. Francis, my darling, what's going on? Mum linked her fingers together and leaned towards me over the breakfast bar. What? I said, because I had a mouthful of cereal. You haven't done a single piece of summer work or Cambridge prep all week. Mum raised her eyebrows and attempted to look serious. This didn't work because she was wearing her unicorn onesie. And you've been hanging out with Alid about 500% more than your normal friends. I swallowed. That is a true fact. You've been wearing your hair down more often. I thought you didn't like it down. I can't be bothered to put it up all the time. But I thought you preferred it like that. I shrugged. Mum looked at me. I looked at her. What's the prob? I asked. She shrugged. It's not a problem. I was just intrigued. Why? It's just different and unusual. So? Mum shrugged again. I don't know. I hadn't thought about it, but Mum did have a point. Most of my summer holidays were taking up with me doing summer homework, revision, work experience, or the occasional terrible job at one of the town restaurants or clothes shops. I hadn't thought about any of those things. You're not stressed out or anything, are you? Mum asked. No, I said. No, I'm really not. And that's a true fact, is it? A true fact. Mum nodded slowly and said, Okay, just wanted to check. I haven't seen School Francis for a while. School Francis? What do you mean? She smiled. Something you said a while ago. Don't worry. Laugh and run. It took me until a week into August to realise that Alid was actively blocking me from talking to his mum. I knew only a few things about Carol last. She was a parent governor. She was a strict single parent. She always made conversation with my mum when they saw each other in the village post office. If she was in, Alid said we had to be at my house or go out somewhere, because apparently she didn't like visitors. Which sounded like a fair excuse until I actually met her. That particular day, I was planning to go round his, and both Alid and I were late sleepers, so we usually met up at around 2. Since our trip to Creams, we'd both been wearing our weird clothes, me in my vast collection of bizarrely patterned leggings and oversized jackets and jumpers, him in his stripy shorts and giant cardigans and baggy t-shirts and those lime green plimsolls. That day, he was wearing black shorts and an oversized black sweatshirt, which had 1995 on it in bold white letters. His hair had just about grown long enough to have a parting. I always thought he looked cooler than me, but he always thought I looked cooler than him. Normally I'd have to knock on his door, but today he was sitting outside, waiting for me. Brian, Alid's ageing Labrador, was sat patiently on the curb. But as soon as I stepped out of my house, he trotted up to me. Brian was in love with me already, which was doing good things for my self-esteem. Hello there, I said to Alid as I crossed the road. Alid smiled and stood up. All right. We only hugged now when we were saying goodbye. I think that made it more special. The first thing I noticed was that his mum's car was in the drive. I already knew what Alid was about to say. I thought we could take Brian for a walk, he said, pulling his sleeves over his hands. We were halfway down the road when I broached the topic. It's weird that I've never even, spoken to your mum. There was a significant pause. Is it? He said, keeping his head down. Yeah, I haven't even seen her. You've spoken to my mum loads of times. I figured we were close enough now for me to just ask the awkward question. I'd been doing this quite a lot for the past week. Does your mum not like me? What do you mean? I've been to your house 20 times, and I haven't seen her even once. I put my hands in my pockets. Alid didn't say anything, but he kept shifting from one foot to the other. Let's be real. Is she racist or something? No. Oh my God, no. Okay, I said, and waited for him to go on. He stopped walking, mouth half open as if he were about to say something, but he honestly couldn't tell me what it was. Does she hate me or something then? I said, and then added a laugh, thinking it might lighten the tone. And he said, no, it's not you, I swear. So quickly, with his eyes so wide that I knew he wasn't lying. Then I realised how awkward I was being. It's fine. It's fine. I stepped back a little, shaking my head in what I hoped was a sort of nonchalant dismissal. You don't have to tell me anything if you don't want to. It's fine. I'm just being weird. I looked down. Brian was gazing up at me, so I bent down and ruffled his fur. Ali! Alid whipped his head around and I looked up too. And there she was. Carol Last, leaning out of her car window. I hadn't even heard her car pull up behind us. She looked terrifying, in that classic white, middle-class mum sort of way. Dyed cropped hair, slightly round physique, a smile that said, "Can I get you a cup of tea?" And eyes that said, "I will burn everything you love." "You heading out, sweetheart?" she said, eyebrows raised. Alid was facing her so I couldn't see his expression. "Yep, just taking Brian for a walk." Then her eyes found me. "All right, Francis, love." She raised a hand and smiled. "Haven't seen you for a while." I knew we were both thinking about Caris. Yeah, I'm really good, thanks. Yeah," I said. "How are your exams? Everything go to plan?" "I hope so," I said with a very forced laugh. "Yes, don't we all?" she chuckled. "Alid's got some pretty high grades to get if he wants to get into this university of his, hasn't he?" She directed this at Alid. "But he revised like an absolute champ, so I'm sure it'll all work out." Alid said nothing. Carol looked back at me with a half smile. "He's worked so hard. The whole family's so proud. We knew he'd be a smart boy right from when he was a toddler." She chuckled again, looking up as if reliving a memory. "He could read books before he even started primary school. He had real natural ability, our Ali. Always destined to be an academic." She sighed and faced Alid. "But we all know that you don't get anything unless you work hard, don't we?" "Hmm," said Alid. "Can't get too distracted, can we?" "Nope." Carol paused and took a long look at her son. Her voice lowered slightly and then she said, "You won't be too long, will you, Ali? Nan's coming over at 4 and you said you'd be around." "We'll be back by 4, said Alid. His voice had gone weirdly monotonous. "All right then," said Carol. She laughed a small laugh. "Don't let Brian eat any slugs." And then she drove off. Alid started walking away down the road immediately. I jogged to catch up. We walked in silence for a minute. When we reached the end of the road, I said, "So, does she hate me or doesn't she?" Alid kicked a stone. "She doesn't hate you." We turned left and climbed over the stile separating the village from the fields and the woods beyond. Brian, knowing our route, had already clambered over it and was sniffing the grass a little way ahead. "Well, that's a relief," I said, laughing. But there was still something. We walked on and into the path through the cornfield. The corn had grown so tall that we couldn't see over it. After a few more minutes, Alid said, "I just really didn't want you to meet her." I waited, but he didn't explain. He didn't. He couldn't. Why? She seems fine. Oh, yeah, she seems fine, Alid said, his voice dripping with a bitterness I hadn't heard from him before. Is she not fine? I asked. He wasn't looking at me. It's fine. Okay. Okay. Alid. I stopped walking. After a few more steps, he did too, and turned around. Brian was off somewhere ahead of us, snuffling in the corn. If you're feeling crap, I said, quoting exactly what he'd said to me the night he taught me an entire maths topic in 1 hour, it's always better to talk about it. He blinked, and then he grinned too, like he couldn't really stop himself. I don't even know. I'm sorry. He took a breath. I just really don't like my mum. That's all. And I realised suddenly why he'd had so much difficulty telling me. Because it seems like such a juvenile thing to say. A teenage thing. Ugh, I hate my parents kind of thing. She's just horrible to me all the time, he said. I know she sounded really nice back there. She doesn't usually act like that. He laughed. It sounds really stupid. It's not, I said. It sounds shitty. I just sort of wanted to keep you and her separate. The sun passed behind a cloud, and I could see him properly again. His hair lifted away from his forehead in the breeze. Like, when we hang out, I don't have to think about her or any family stuff or work stuff. I can just have fun. But if she gets to know you, then the two worlds will, like, cross over. He made a gesture with his hands, and then he laughed again. But it was a sad laugh. This is really stupid. It's not. I just... He met my eyes, finally. I just really like hanging out with you, and I don't want anything to ruin it. I didn't know what to say, so I just hugged him. And he went, oh, like he did the first time. I would literally cut off my leg before I let anything ruin this, I said, my chin on his shoulder, not even joking. I'd give up the internet for a year. I'd burn my Parks and Recreation DVDs. He snorted. Shut up. But he brought his arms up to circle my waist. Not joking, though, I said, and squeezed him tighter. I wasn't going to let anything ruin this. Not horrible parents, not school, not distance, not anything. It sounds kind of silly and stupid, this whole conversation, but I don't know what it was. I don't know why I felt this way, when I'd only known him for 2 months. Was it because we liked the same music? Was it because our fashion tastes were the same? Was it because there were no awkward silences? There were no arguments? He helped me when no one else would. And I helped him when his own best friend was busy. Was it because I worshipped the story he wrote? I worshipped him. I don't know. I don't care. Being friends with Alid made me feel like I'd never had a real friend before. Ever. Half an hour later, and we were chatting about the upcoming Universe City episode. Alid wasn't sure whether Radio should kill the latest sidekick, Atlas, or whether Atlas should sacrifice himself for Radio. Alid liked the sacrificing idea, but I said that Radio killing him would be sadder and therefore better. Since Atlas had been the sidekick for over 3 months, I was kind of attached to Atlas and thought he deserved a good death. "It could be a zombie situation," I said. "Like, Radio has to kill him before he turns into a raging flesh eater. That never fails to bring out all the feels." "That's so cliched, though," said Alid. He ran a hand through his hair. "It's got to be something original. Or what's the point?" "Okay, not zombies. Dragons. Dragons instead of zombies." "Radio has to kill him before he turns into a dragon." "To be honest, it's a bit shocking you haven't put any dragons in there yet." Alid put his hand on his heart. "Wow, rude. Dragons over zombies any day. Come on." "Dragons aren't as sad as zombies, though. Atlas could easily live a happy dragon life." "Maybe he should live a happy dragon life." "What, so he doesn't die?" "No, he just turns into a dragon and flies away. Still sad, but also hopeful. Everyone loves a sad but hopeful ending." Alid frowned. "Hopeful for a happy dragon life?" "Yeah, guarding a princess or something, burning some middle-aged knights." "Universe City is set in the 2500s. We're straying into AU territory." We crossed into a sheep field without noticing that the sky had clouded over. And when it started to rain, I lifted up my hand to check that it was really happening. It was summer. It was like 22 degrees, and it had been sunny 5 minutes ago. "No!" I turned to Alid. Alid was squinting at the sky. "Wow." I looked around us. A couple of 100 meters ahead was a patch of woodland. Shelter. I pointed towards it and looked at Alid. "Fancy a jog?" "Haha. What?" But I'd already started running. No, sprinting towards the trees across the grass. The rain already heavy enough that it kept stinging my eyes. Brian galloping along beside me. After a moment, I could hear Alid running too. And I glanced behind me and stretched out my arm to him and cried, "Come along!" And he did. He reached out and took my hand and we ran like that through the countryside in the rain. And then he laughed. And it reminded me of a child's laugh. And I wished people could always laugh and run like that. Radio. My first Universe City episode came out on Saturday the 10th of August. We'd settled on me making a small animation for each episode. Not very long, just one that repeats throughout the 20 minutes. A 4-second GIF, repeating over and over and over again. The one I made for this episode was of the city, Universe City, growing out of the ground, and stars flashing in the sky. Looking back now, I guess it was pretty crap. But we both loved it, at the time. Which is what matters, I think. I listened to Alid record the episode the night before. I was astounded that he let me. I knew Alid was a more private and quiet person than I was, even though we'd played High School Musical Just Dance that week. And performing, if that's what this was, didn't seem like something he would be okay with. Alid performing an episode of Universe City felt more personal than anything I'd seen or heard of him before, including the time we had a 2 a.m. discussion about bowel movements. But he was okay with it. He turned his bedroom light off. The fairy lights above our heads looked like tiny stars, and the tips of his hair were lit up in all different colours. He slumped into his desk chair and fiddled for a few minutes with this beautiful microphone, which must have cost a shitload of money. I was on a beanbag, his city blanket wrapped around me because it was always freezing in his house. Tired, the room was dark blue and hazy. I could have fallen asleep. "Hello. I hope somebody is listening." He'd written the script out on his laptop. He repeated lines if he got them wrong, As he recorded, the sound waves bounced up and down on his computer screen. It was like I was listening to a completely different person. No, not different, just more of Alid. Alid at 100%. Alid being himself. I was listening to Alid's brain. I zoned out, like I always did. I got lost in the story. I forgot about things. Every episode of Universe City ends with a performance of a song. The same song, every time. A 30-second rock song Alid had written called Nothing Left for Us. But a new performance. I didn't realise Alid was going to perform it right then and there, until he picked up his electric guitar and plugged it into his amp. Some pre-recorded drums and bass guitar started playing out of his speakers, and when he played his guitar, it was so loud that I clapped my hands over my ears. It was like it always was, but so much better in person. Like 1,000 guitars and chainsaws and lightning all at once. The bass making the wall shake behind my head. And then he started to sing in that shouty way that I could have sung along with. I wanted to sing along with. But I didn't. Because I didn't want to ruin it. I already knew both the tune and the lyrics. There's nothing left for us anymore. Why aren't you listening? Why aren't you listening to me? There's nothing left. When he'd finished, he turned round again in his desk chair and said, back in his quiet voice, like I'd snapped out of a dream. So? What voice? High, low, or medium? It was 10 p.m. His bedroom ceiling looked like a galaxy. He told me he'd painted it when he was 14. You choose, I said. He pulled his sleeves over his hands. I was starting to figure out what that meant. I said, this is the best day of my whole life. He grinned. Shut up. He turned back to his laptop, his body silhouetted against the brightness of the screen, and said, I think medium voice. I like androgynous radio the best. February Friday. My Tumblr got over 1,000 new followers in one day. I was flooded with asks telling me how much they loved my art and congratulations for getting to work with the show that I'd been obsessed about, along with a few asks telling me how much they hated it, and me, obviously. I was everywhere in the Universe City Tumblr tag. My art, my blog, my Twitter, me. They still didn't know anything about me, really, which I was actually grateful for. Internet anonymity can be a good thing sometimes. Alid, knowing I was Toulouse, the Universe City artist, was fine, but the idea of anyone else finding out still terrified me. And of course, once my involvement with Universe City was revealed, I was bombarded with tweets and questions on Tumblr, asking who the creator was. I had expected it, but that didn't mean it failed to stress me out. I couldn't post anything online for several days after the episode without a fresh wave of questions about who I was and who the creator was. As soon as I showed Alid the messages, he panicked. We were sitting in my lounge on the sofa watching Spirited Away. He read the messages in my Tumblr inbox. As he scrolled, he put a hand on his forehead. Then he started saying, oh no, oh no, oh God, under his breath. It's okay. It's not like I'm going to tell them. We can't let them find out. I didn't really know why Alid wanted to keep Universe City a secret. I assumed it was just because he liked his privacy. He didn't want his face on the internet. It felt a bit invasive to ask. Okay, I said. I've got an idea, said Alid. He opened Twitter on his laptop and typed out a tweet. Radio, at University. February Friday. I still believe. I still listen. February Friday, I said. Yes, good idea. February Friday, or the Letters to February segment, produces probably the biggest conspiracy theories within the University fandom. The fandom wiki explained it quite well. February Friday and fandom theories. It is commonly believed within the University fandom that the entire series is a gift from the anonymous creator to a person they are, slash, were, in love with. The large majority of the early episodes, 2011, and around half of the later episodes, 2012 onwards, contain a passage, usually towards the end of the episode, directed towards a character who never makes any appearance or has any story arc. February Friday. In these segments, Radio Silence typically laments their inability to communicate with February Friday, muddled in with abstract imagery and indeterminable metaphors. Usually, the segment is largely nonsensical, leading the fandom to believe that they are mostly comprised of personal jokes, which the anonymous creator shares with the person IRL, represented by February Friday. As these segments contribute nothing to University's plot and have no sequential plot of their own, the fandom argues that they must contain some significance to the creator. Many attempts have been made to determine the meaning of what has become known as the Letters to February. But all attempts are merely guesswork and objective analyses. So, radio tweeting about February Friday obviously caused a fandom shitstorm. A brief, inconclusive one, but an undeniable shitstorm. And everyone was completely distracted from sending me messages, demanding to know who I am and who radio is. Since getting to know Alid, I'd thought a lot about the February Friday conspiracy, about who February might be, if they were a representation of somebody he knew. My immediate thoughts went to Karis, but I rejected the idea, since the Letters to February were so romantic. I even considered me at one point, before realising that Alid hadn't even known me when he started making University. Of course, being friends with Alid now meant that I had the opportunity to ask about February Friday, which I did. So, just putting this out there, I rolled over on the sofa, so I was facing him. Am I allowed to know the secret of February Friday? Alid bit his lip and genuinely thought about it. He rolled over so he was facing me too. Okay, don't be offended, but I think it needs to stay an ultimate secret. And I thought that was fair enough. University Podcast. Episode 32, Cosmic Noise. Posted by Universe City. Have you been listening so far?
I think by now, February, we've, as they say, lost touch. Not that we ever touched in the first place. In the end, I'm still only ever looking where you've looked. I'm only ever walking where you've walked. I'm in your dark blue shadow, and you never seem to turn around to find me there. I wonder sometimes whether you've exploded already, like a star. And what I'm seeing is you 3 million years into the past. And you're not here anymore. How can we be together here, now, when you are so far away. When you are so far ago. I'm shouting so loudly, but you never turn around to see me. Perhaps it is I who have already exploded. Either way, we are going to bring beautiful things into the universe.
The big scheme of things. Thursday, 15th of August, was results day. It was also Alid's 18th birthday. Our friendship had become this. 0000, Francis Janvier. Happy birthday. Hope you're feeling party AF. Love you loads, you beautiful man. Can't believe my small buddy is a man now. I'm crying. 0002, Alid last. Why are you tormenting me with cringe messages like this? 0003, Francis Janvier, shrugging emoji. 0003, Alid last. Wow. Thank you, though. Love you. Hearts for eyes emoji. 0004, Francis Janvier. That was cringe, mate. 0004, Alid last. That was payback.